Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood that was shed for me. Let us pray. Oh Lord, how excellent is your name. Your name, Lord, that you have set above the heavens. So God, we come today to say a word that you won't say it today, Lord. So we pray right now that everything that is said, everything that is talked about, Lord, that you bless it, that you ordain it, and then, Lord, that most of all, somebody might come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I thank you for being my strength, and I thank you for being my redeemer. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Our text this morning comes from a prophet in the Old Testament, Daniel. Daniel, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 15. If you don't have a handout, raise your hand. The usher will make sure you get one. I'm going to read for your hearing. Just raise your hand and they'll gladly give you a handout. The word of God reads, "Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows opened toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition 3 times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even unto sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Sometimes I hate to wait. Anybody feel that way but me? Go to the renew your license, you have to wait. Get to your doctor's office on time and you still have to wait. You get in traffic any time of the day in Houston, you still have to wait. Now, what messes you up is that we live in a right now culture. Social media has thrown us off. We can get everything instantaneously. Amazon has fixed that thing so well. You order it and you can get it in an hour. Things are just toe up. Technical things, social media, all of that has caused all of us to expect life in a different way. And much of that is reflected in our spiritual journey. A crisis comes and you tell God, I need you right now. Yes, he's a right now God, but he's not a cosmic bellhop. He's a God that hears you. And when we pray to God and it seems like he's taking his time, it seems like he's telling us, hold up, wait a minute, I got you, you're on the list, I'm going to get to you when I get to you, just chill out. But God is not answering. He's silent. Seems like your prayer is in a long line of crisis. Essentially, you are hearing it ain't your time. Even while your crisis is getting worse, God is saying to you in silence, you're on the list, I'll get to you. So how do we handle it when God seemingly has delayed his response? Well, this morning, I want you to walk with me as we walk through this text about Daniel. And while you pray with me and you pray for me, I want to spend a little moment talking about keep on praying. Keep on praying. I like what the writer of the book, Pray Big, Will Davis, says. He says, a crisis is not the time to start praying. It's a time to keep praying. So my prayer today is as we walk through this word from God, that you're encouraged on your pilgrim journey, that you learn something else about how to view prayer on your journey. Now, I know there's some people here that are saying, preacher, I know about prayer. You ain't got to tell me. I know about it. But I got news for you. Life be lifing. The struggle is real. So what you think you know about prayer, keep saying good morning. Struggles and crises will come. Tell me, well, preacher, I know about push. You know what push is, pray until something happens. I know about all that, preacher. I know how to pray. You don't understand. I got that down. Now, preacher, I got to tell you, when my wife and my husband and my children act up, they need Jesus. Because I know how to pray. But when my manager acts like they done lost their mind, then I have to deal with them, preacher. But I told you, I thought you told me that you know how to pray. Prayer can change anything. But when you're in a crisis, it feels like it's not changing nothing. It feels like the thing is just going over and over again. You're in conflict with somebody, and they get out of line, and instead of you wanting to pray, you say, it's time to lay hands. Instead of you wanting to pray, you say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And I'm going to caution you there. Don't give up what you only use about 10% of. You need to hold on to that whole 10% and don't be giving nobody nothing about that. Now, the bad news is that sometimes God does not answer our prayer when we want him to answer it. We start complaining. You got that friend that when you are complaining that they tell you, well, have you prayed about it? And then you go silent because you know you haven't prayed about it. And God is showing you and I the value of prayer. And so when we unpack this story in the Old Testament with Daniel, you and I are going to get a different view of what prayer looks like. So while you pray with me, I just want to encourage you to keep on praying. Who is Daniel? He's a major prophet. God used Daniel in very powerful ways. Daniel's got some good history with God. Daniel had served a purpose to serve God and be with God. Daniel is not new to this religion. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have been together a long time. Daniel was gifted to be an interpreter of dreams. And one of the dreams that he interpreted, as he told the king of those days, that his numbers have been determined and his days will end. And that very night when he gave that prophecy, that king died. And when we get to chapter 6, Daniel is now dealing with a new king by the name of Darius. And so we meet him today right in chapter 6 while things have changed. And when we talk about prayer, Daniel is kind of the prophet that shows us the power of prayer and the presence of prayer. And so for the first thing I want you to understand is that if we're going to keep on praying, we have to keep on praying because the struggle is real. Here in the text, it says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before God. And these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before God. That word petition is an earnest request. When you see supplication, that is seeking favor from God. And they saw that Daniel was talking to his God. And when he was talking to his God, Daniel was trying to handle the situation that was going all around him. Daniel had found favor. He had an extraordinary spirit. He had been promoted in the kingdom to be the HMIC. He was living in a foreign land. Being the head man in charge, and he was in a foreign land, it ruffled some feathers. Because where he was in Babylon, they had some folk that wanted to make Babylon great again. So here is this prophet that says, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. His character shined. He was elevated to be the man. And his enemies responded. Haters going to hate you, no. You're going to have to tell them, well, favor ain't fair. But jealousy and insecurity takes over. And here is Daniel, God's prophet, prospering in a foreign land. He is trying to do the best job that he's been asked to do. And evil shows up. We can't control evil. It has really no boundaries. When people got meanness in them, they just got meanness in them. And sometimes that meanness show up in the boardroom, shows up in the leader's meeting. Here is Daniel, who is the leader, and they're having a meeting without him as the leader. Here is Daniel dealing with some men that really don't like him, and they don't like him just because he's a foreigner. They don't like him because he's a goody-two-shoes. So they went looking for some mess on Daniel. But what they found was there was no corruption, no negligence. He was clean as a whistle. They couldn't find any dirt on him. So they decided that they would create some dirt. They decided that they would make it difficult for the prophet. They decided that he ain't all that, and we're going to make sure he don't do nothing else. So they go to the king and convince the king that, hey, man, you the man. That's right, king, you the man? Yeah, I'm the man. Well, king, you know, anybody going to be bound to anybody else but you. So they convinced the king that he needed to put an edict in that said, don't nobody bow to nobody else but me. Daniel's enemies went to the head man to convince the head man to put something in place to trick up Daniel. Sound familiar, anybody? You've been in corporate America, you've seen that before. You don't even have to go to corporate America. Go to your house. You've seen that before. Reminds us that the struggle is real. And it's real because of evil. It's real because of the meanness of people. We sit in astonishment. I can't believe somebody that crazy. Yes, they are. Sin takes you on a path, and it surprises all of us, but sin does that. And so we find here that Daniel is wrestling with somebody, with some people rather, that he really didn't have a fight with. He's just doing his job. He's just doing what God had blessed him to do. But because he had power and they didn't have power, they created a situation where evil would take over. They were guided by the evilness. They were guided by the fact that they wanted to be in charge. Many of us have worked around people or been around people that mistreated us, and you be trying to figure out what's wrong with them. They want some power, and you in the way. Yeah, you. I'm looking at your faces. You thinking about them folk. Yeah, they were low down. Yeah, it's going in your mind. And Daniel had some low down brothers that came after him. And so Daniel is showing us today how to handle these brothers. Now, here in the text, when we see what's going on behind the scenes, Daniel is aware of what's going on. And so when Daniel is aware of it, he doesn't say anything. And so Daniel is just going about doing his business. And so when you started getting blessed by God and God elevates you, people take notice and your haters show up. Beth Moore, the author, the Christian author, put it this way when she began to be noticed. And she said it this way. She talks about the progression in her book of praying God's word. She started a Bible study with just four women. She was just, to the devil, just an interest. Okay, just four women, ain't nothing going to happen. Then she wrote lessons for Bible studies. Now her position toward the devil changed because he became concerned about this woman. Then she wrote a book, and now she's become a threat. And so Daniel hadn't done anything other than just show up for work and do what God had told him to do, and now he was a threat to his enemies. And because of that threat, they did some dirt. I don't know who I'm talking to. You're trying to figure out why they're mistreating you. You're trying to figure out why they talk to you crazy. You're trying to figure out why things just throw it off. Keep on doing what God told you to do. Keep on doing what God is telling you to do. You ain't got to fight that battle. Do what God told you to do. And don't forget, the struggle is real. Don't forget that you fight against something you can't fight against. God has to fight against it. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12, we get what the apostle is saying. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We got to just keep on praying because it's necessary. It's a necessity. We must pray. Yet, when we pray, we usually just say prayer for crisis times. You know, we treat this privilege of prayer like it's a AAA membership. We only call on God when we get stuck. We don't talk to him every day. That's why the songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry not one or two things. It says everything to God in prayer. Oh, what needless pain we bear, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Struggle is real. Take it to God in prayer. Keep on praying. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, be sure that no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to do what is good for each other and for all people. Always be full of joy. Never stop praying. Moreover, here in this text, we're reminded that we must keep on praying because the battle is not yours. Here, these enemies, they gave a crisis and they figured out how to get Daniel trapped. They heard that he was praying. They witnessed that he was praying. And what about what they saw about Daniel praying, and what the text says is that when Daniel heard about the document that was signed, Daniel didn't fuss. He didn't complain. The Bible says that he went to the upper room like he always does. And he did it not once, but three times a day. So instead of complaining, he went to the one that could take care of the issue. He didn't go to the girlfriend. He didn't go to the dude. No, he went to the one that could fix the problem. And he didn't go one time. He kept going. He kept praying. He went back to him over and over again and didn't care about who saw it, didn't care about who heard it. Matter of fact, if you heard me, you might get blessed because you heard what I'm praying about. So Daniel shows you and I that whatever all of this stuff is going, we still need to go and pray. And not pray one time. Pray all the time. And let God handle the prayer. And so our concern today, as we walk on this discipleship journey, is we are challenged to keep on praying. Crises come up in our lives. Crises come left and they come right. We got people that all around us that are dealing with all kinds of issues. All of us have something that we're dealing with. That's why we got to pray. That's why we got to talk to the master. That's why we got to communicate with him, because when we start communicating to ourselves and start talking to ourselves, you're in trouble. Because you're full of sin, you throw it off, and your throw it off gonna get you to do something that's throw it off. That's why we got to talk to the Lord. And when we talk to the Lord, tell him all about our troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry, and he'll answer by and by. Just have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about it. And so when we are struggling and we are having these battles with folk that you just can't figure out what's going on with them, it's kind of unrelenting. They just come and keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And you'd be like, Lord, why you got me here? Well, there's a reason he got you there. Daniel could have asked the same question. Lord, I didn't really want to be in this foreign land. Why you got me here? But he was there to be a shining light in the dark. So when we talk about keep on praying and we talk about these battles that we face, we've got to take the position that we can't fight every battle. The Lord has to do that. The spiritual battles that we face often takes us from God instead of taking us to God. We take this position, I got this. They don't know who they're messing with. I was born at night, but not last night. My name is Day Day, and I don't play. We've moved away from God, and we've not allowed God to take care of the battle. And so when we move away from God, oftentimes, God will stand back and let you fight your battle. Been there, done that, got 4 or 5 t-shirts that I don't want. Put my foot in my mouth, said things I ain't had no business saying. And afterwards, the Lord silently says, quietly says to me, I told you. We got to keep on praying. We've got to stay on the battlefield and pray. And so when we take this, Daniel reminds us that we must pray in season and out of season. He reminds us that crises really provoke us to pray more, to pray on, to keep praying. He tells us that our response is to pray. Prayer is not the normal response. And if you're honest with me, and it don't even take a whole lot to get you disturbed. Let somebody cut in front of you. And then you get a little holy and pull alongside of them and give them a look. Amen. Those little instances, God is telling us that we still need to pray. Take every thought captive to what God wants us to do. And here Daniel helps us to see that when things are going the wrong way, how we ought to handle it. In the story, I don't see Daniel complaining. I don't see him saying, hey, I don't like all of this. I hate this. I don't see any of that in the story. What I do see is he went to the upper room. What I do see, he kept going to the upper room. I don't see anything where he said, look here, man, I need to have a one-on-one with you. I don't see that in that. The text is telling us how we ought to handle trouble, how we ought to handle the struggle, how we ought to handle the issues in life that's too big for us. The text is telling us, go to the upper room. Get down on your knees. One time, two times, three times, if it takes four times, get down on your knees. That's what the text is telling us. Keep on praying. You can always tell somebody off. That's easy. The hard part is for you to hold your tongue. But when we talk about keep on praying, Daniel is showing us what it means. Now, prayer sometimes does not stop evil. Evil is going to be evil. We see it all the time. Mass shootings everywhere. Buffalo, New York City, New Orleans. It's evil will show up. Evil has not stopped an election for somebody getting voted in that, hello. Evil has not stopped bigotry and hate. You and I can't stop it. That's God's job. But what we can do, keep on praying. That's what we can do to deal with evil. So when Daniel has this opportunity to respond, he responds in a way that God honors, that God hears and he sees. But sometimes we don't see God giving us the answer that we wanted. We don't see what God is doing because our situation gets worse. We don't see what God is doing because, Lord, I told you that this thing is getting out of hand. And it's gotten worse. We're not willing to wait on God. We're not willing to deal with God's time and not our time. We try to fix things that God is fixing. And when we get in the way, God just lets us get in the way. So Daniel is showing us the power of prayer really includes waiting. It includes holding out, waiting on God. And so when we are praying about situations and crises, and we're praying about issues that we can't fix, the biggest thing that you and I can do is to keep on praying. And when you keep on praying, you're really reaching for a source bigger than you. I read a story about a father and son riding their bikes on a trail, and they saw a large branch blocking the path. Pretty large branch. And so the father thought that this would be a very good teachable moment. So he told his son to get off his bike and move this big, large branch. So his son got off and he struggled with moving it. It was just too big. And almost to tears, the dad said, oh, he told his dad, I can't move it, Dad. I can't move it. The daddy said, you sure you can? Have you used all your strength? So the son said, yes, I have. I just can't move it. And the father said, no, you didn't use all your strength. You didn't ask me for help. Come here. You still got that problem. You ain't prayed about it. You ain't asked God for help. You haven't asked him to help you hold your tongue. You haven't asked him to help you deal with the situation day by day. You're not using all of the strength you have. And that strength comes only from God. So we have to ask God to help us, and we have to keep on praying. You need faith to see you beyond your circumstances. Keep on praying. You need relief from your pain of grief and sorrow. Keep on praying. You need help to reconcile a broken relationship. Keep on praying. Put it in God's hands. Keep on praying. Don't turn away from God. Walk to God. And the last thing we wanted to point out here, because if we're going to keep on praying, we have to keep on praying because God will be glorified and you will be satisfied. Here in this story, Daniel faces this ordeal, and he's arrested because he was praying to his God. And now, being arrested makes Daniel's situation worse. But he was arrested. And being arrested meant that he was doomed to go to the lion's den because that's what the edict called for. Daniel prayed 3 times a day over and over again. Yet, he found himself in the lion's den. Daniel prayed over and over again. Yet, he found himself facing death. Daniel prayed that God had showed him how to pray. The Daniel here in chapter 6 is not the same Daniel in chapter 1. In chapter 1, that was a teenage Daniel. It's believed that in chapter 6, Daniel is in his 80s. He's been walking with the Lord a long time. And yet, he finds himself in the lion's den. He's been with the Lord. He done talked to him. The Lord has given him assignments and he's kept his assignments. He's got good relationship with God, but yet he finds himself facing death. Daniel is one of the good ones, but yet he is facing death. God didn't answer his prayer and it looked like it was going to be the end. But in the text, Daniel was silent. And he took it like a man. He went to the lion's den. He didn't go fighting and say, no, I ain't the one. You ain't going to do that to me. No, no, no. He went as they had instructed. And here we find Daniel at the end of this chapter facing death behind something that he had no control over. His crisis had gotten worse. Daniel shows us that even when it gets worse, hold your tongue. Even when it gets worse, you can have confidence that God sees you. He is the El Roi. He sees you. He knows what's going on. Daniel assures us that he didn't have to put up a fight because the God he served at 16 is the same God he served at 80. And that God took him through. And he's the same God that's going to take him through this time. And here is Daniel in the lion's den. And before he goes to the lion's den, the king said, well, I'm going to lock you up, but I hope your God takes care of you. Daniel didn't say nothing. Just walked on into the lion's den. And here is Daniel. Now, these lions had not been given something to eat. So they were ready to have dinner. They fixed it to where Daniel couldn't escape. They fixed it to where his end was imminent. All because he showed up to work, did his job, honored God, walked like he should have walked, made somebody mad. That's all. Brother Nay, he didn't do all this extra. He just showed up, did his job, did what the Lord wanted him to do, didn't mess with nobody, didn't cuss folk out, didn't act funny with nobody, but he finds himself facing death. The crisis got worse. And here is Daniel. Now, the king said, I hope your God don't miss it. Whatever Daniel was doing, the king took notice of his makeup. Daniel got something different about him than the rest of y'all. He been praying to a God that y'all don't pray to. And that God gonna show up this time. I think that's what the king was thinking. What's the point? Daniel's lifestyle showed this king that it ain't over yet. So Daniel goes into the den. They lock it up. It's nighttime. The Bible says that the king, who was one of those that loved the party hardy, couldn't sleep that night. But the Bible says that when they locked it up, Daniel went to sleep. And all night, something happened. God visited that lion's den. And he just didn't visit, he shut up some stuff. He shut up the lion's mouth. He settled them down. And Daniel slept all night long. And I thought about Psalms 91:11. It says he dispatches angels all night and all day. And here's Daniel in a situation that all he did was just serve God. But he was dealing with evil, and he was dealing with people that couldn't satisfy themselves. And here is Daniel sleeping all night. I don't know about you, but when somebody done got on my nerves, sleeping ain't on the list. Daniel is showing me today, sleeping got to be on your list, because it ain't in your hands, it's in God's hands. And when you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, he'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And here's Daniel going to sleep all night. The lions couldn't do anything. And so early the next day, early, the king couldn't sleep, y'all. He had to get up early. And so he gets to the den. And he hollers out, oh, Daniel. And my mind got away with me, because I'm like, Daniel, you should have just not said nothing at all. Let the king sweat that thing out a little bit. But Daniel didn't do that. After the king yelled a couple of times, Daniel said, oh, king, you will live forever. My God sent his angels. And they shut the mouths of the lions, not just a half the night, all night. And king, I'm doing good this morning. I got the activity of my limbs. I'm in my right mind. Ain't nothing happened to me. The God that I serve took care of me. The God that I serve looked after me. The God that I served not only took care of me, but he took care of my enemies. He took care of the folk that's been after me. He took care of all of the people that tried to do me wrong, because the text says that God dealt with, the king rather, dealt with all of the people that wanted to do the dirt. Once the king saw that Daniel was delivered, the king lost his mind. Oh, man, I'm getting rid of y'all. I'm getting rid of you. I'm getting rid of you. I'm getting rid of you. Somebody else can fight your battle. Hang with the Lord. Stick with the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. When it gets worse, keep on praying. When it gets difficult, keep on praying. When things ain't working out, keep on praying. When you don't know how it's going to end, keep on praying. Go to the well over and over and over again. Let God do what God do. Don't try to get in the middle of it. You don't know how he's going to work it out. But he will work it out. He's the one that can work things out. He is the one that can keep your company in the midnight hour. He's the one that can cheer your spirits in the midnight hour. He's the one that can assure you that it's going to be all good, because I got this. And so we went to see Daniel. Daniel shows us that we got to keep on praying. And I read a book from a preacher Florida. He titled the book, It Happens After Prayer. Remember, he went and prayed three times over and over again. He didn't know how the end was going to be. And he prayed for God to give him favor. It happened after prayer. It happened when he kept on praying. God showed up after the prayer. So whatever you've been praying about, keep on praying. God's going to show up after you pray. Whatever it is that ain't getting fixed, keep on praying, because God's going to show up after the prayer. Whatever it is, keep on praying. I've experienced that. And it was a painful experience. It was one that our go in my mind over and over again. How God, when you're praying, that he takes care of you after the prayer. My wife, several years back, began to have some trouble walking. So we went to multiple doctors. They couldn't tell her or us what was going on. Frustration, tears. And we kept praying. Got worse. Couldn't find a doctor that would tell us what's going on. They tried to treat it, but they couldn't. It wasn't helping. They look at us with that little blank face. They don't know what to do. Kept dealing with it, kept praying. And then she talked to someone, and they gave her a list of three doctors that they thought could help. She called the first doctor on the list, set up the appointment. We met with this doctor. And this was the first meeting with a doctor that I was able to take a deep breath and relax. Because this doctor connected with my wife. This doctor understood what was going on and committed to us that she was going to do all she can to find out what's going on. And we started doing the various tests and so forth, and going to the hospital and doing all of those things. And in one of the hospital visits, as we were just waiting for the results, we were talking to the doctor. She's a sister. And we were just talking about the Lord. Turns out she was a believer. Turns out she was going to church in Third Ward. And so now I'm like, okay, Lord, you done did this thing. And we were talking, and what became clear is that God, after prayer, gave us what we needed. Now, this is the rest of the story. For what disease my wife has, there's no cure. But we just needed some help. She just needed some help. God sent the help after prayer. I don't know who's dealing with something. I don't know where you are. But I'm going to encourage you today, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Don't know what God has in plan, but I do know this. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Yeah, you're going to have some bad days. Keep on praying. God will take care of you. He's that kind of God. And he's going to do it his way. And this big news I got for you. His way is always the best way. And God will take care of you. It happens after prayer, but you got to keep on praying.